Morning, everyone.
Morning. Morning. Morning.
Hope everyone's going to enjoy their 4th of July weekend. What if Noah was asked to build the ark today here in America? And the Lord said, once again, the earth has become wicked and build another ark and save two of every living thing along with a few good humans. Gave Noah the blueprint saying, with today's technology, big equipment, and you already knowing how to build it, you should get it done within 9 months. So you have 9 months to build the ark before I will start the unending rain for 40 days and 40 nights. 9 months later, the Lord looked down and saw Noah weeping in his yard. But no ark. Noah roared. I'm about to start the rain. Where is the ark? Forgive me, Lord. Begged Noah. But things have changed. I needed a building permit. I've been arguing with the boat inspector about the need for a sprinkler system. My homeowners association claimed that I violated the neighborhood bylaws by building the ark in my backyard and exceeding the height limitations. We had to go to the local planning committee for a decision. Then the city council and the electricity company demanded money for the future costs of moving power lines and other overhead obstructions to clear the passage for the ark's move to the sea. I told them that the sea would be coming to us, but they would hear none of it. Getting the wood was another problem. There's a ban on cutting local trees in order to save the greater spotted barn owl. I tried to convince the environmentalists that I needed the wood to save the owls, but no go. When I started gathering the animals, PETA took me to court. They insisted that I was confining wild animals against their will. They argued the accommodations were too restrictive and it was cruel and inhumane to put so many animals in a confined space. Then the Environmental Protection Agency ruled that I couldn't build the ark until they conducted an environmental impact study on your proposed flood. The Immigration Department is checking the visa status of most of the people who want to work. The labor unions say I can't use my sons. They insist I have to hire only union workers with the ark building experience. To make matters worse, the IRS seized all my assets, claiming I'm trying to leave the country illegally with endangered species. So, forgive me, Lord, but it's going to take a lot longer for me to finish this ark. In fact, it might take as long as the first one. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for everything you've done for us in this nation as we celebrate Independence Day. Help us to be reminded of all those who have sacrificed for our freedom. Following the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, let me not take my freedom for granted. I know it is easy to do so, and forgive me when I have taken it for granted in the past. May I always remember that a high price was paid for my freedom. My freedom cost others their lives. Lord, today I just want to thank all the people who have served and blessed them for their continued service and sacrifice. I'm so thankful for this nation, for all the sacrifices others have made to build and defend this country. Thank you for the opportunities and freedoms we have in the United States of America. Now our country is changing right before our very eyes. However, I ask that you bless our leaders that they might come to an understanding of how our country became so blessed. Not because of them, because of you, Lord. Help me to live my life in a way that glorifies you. Give me the words as I preach here today to be a blessing in someone's life and grant me the opportunity to lead others into the freedom that can only be found in knowing Jesus Christ. Thank you again for Sanford Bible Church, where Bible is our middle name. And I hope our church will always continue to preach from your word in your name. Amen.
Amen.
nation which does not remember where it was yesterday, does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We're trying to do a futile thing if we don't know where we have come from or what we have been about. It's President Woodrow Wilson. Job 8:8, ask the former generations and find out what their fathers learned. So remember, guys, knowing the past is very important, okay? People are always trying to fix things without looking where we've come from. It's one of their problems. It's not a good way to go. A joke earlier about Noah building the ark is funny, and we can get a laugh. However, you ever notice that there just seems today that so many people are so unhinged about just basic logic. This common sense gets thrown out the window. I mean, they get so angry if you don't believe in what they believe in. Why do you think that is so? There's a lot of reasons, but I think one of the reasons is that we are living in the last days. We've talked about that. The devil himself is pushing this agenda out of desperation. He knows his end. He knows his end is coming, and he wants to destroy as many people as he can. The devil does not want people to understand the freedom you get from living a life with our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's message I titled Freedom for All. Not just for the people living in America, it's for everyone. For many Americans, July 4th is a time to reflect on God's goodness to us as a nation. What if that freedom is taken away? What happens if you don't live in the USA? Can't live free? Sure you can. Is freedom only for those that live in a free country? No. Not when you were talking about the freedom you get from God. In fact, the only real freedom is the freedom that comes from God. Guys, that's the beauty of what Christ did for us. He gives us freedom no matter the situation. You know, he gives us freedom to choose. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's Galatians 5:1. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. John 20:29. There's nothing in that verse that tells you that God forces you to believe in him, does he? He forces you. Why? You can't force someone to love you. You know? Maybe you love somebody that doesn't love you back. But you can't force that person to love you back, can you? Can't you? So God doesn't force no one. God gives you a choice. He does not make you worship him. He doesn't force you to believe in him like John 29 just said. My father once told me when I was a boy, and always stuck with me, there was no God. How can you explain the history of the Jews? One of my favorite sayings that my father would always say was, I love Jews from my head to my shoes. I mean, why even today everyone talks about tiny little Israel? I mean, look how tiny Israel is. Population around 9 million. It's like the whole world evolves around them, don't they? Why do you think so many people hate them? Can you really hate something that is not real? You know, there's 1.9 billion Muslims that live around Israel. Yet they can't conquer Israel. Some of them want to, some of them don't. They've tried. Can't do it. I mean, you see on the map there, little Israel, yet every nation talks about them daily like they're a superpower.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other nations that are way bigger than them.
Yeah.
Way bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Way bigger land-wise, way bigger population, yet everyone talks about them. Why? Because they are God's people and God is real. There is a God, and that God is the God from the Bible. Look, if you don't believe there's a God, and that God is the God from the Bible, that is your choice, and you have that freedom to choose. It's the beauty of it. You have your freedom. We're not out here to force anyone to make a choice. You make your own choice. You get tired of people that say God sends people to hell. God never sends people to hell. What was hell meant for? Lucifer and the fallen angels. That's the only reason why it was invented. Your sin and your rejection. There would be no one in heaven that did not make their own personal choice. However, there's a flip side to that. Also, there will be no one in hell that did not make their own choice either. God does not send you to hell. Your rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ is what does. I know to live for Christ is getting harder in the world today. But please remember, for believers, this is as hard as it gets for us. However, for unbelievers, this is as good as it gets for them. Remember that when you want to take revenge on somebody. Remember that. Feel sorry for them. Try to help them out. It's what brothers and sisters in Christ want us to do, don't they? It's sad that people, before their time is up, don't come to the realization that they are sinners and need a Savior. However, when you do come to the realization, accept God's gifts to all, then your real life and real freedom begins. Like freedom from judgment. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. He shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 5:24. So in this verse, Jesus is declaring his authority and is applying that there are two kinds of people. Those who are alive in him have eternal life without judgment, and those who are dead. So you can live a life of freedom from judgment. But what about the great, you say, well, what about the great white throne judgment? The judgment seat of Christ. Great white throne judgment is for unbelievers. You're not going to have to be judged on that. And you say, well, judgment seat of Christ. Believe it. But that's for rewards. Okay? When you're saved, God forgives you for what you've done. You've got to remember that. It's important. Freedom from slavery of good works. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16. These three verses are clearly stating that works cannot get you saved. The devil wants you to live in bondage and always think, have I done enough to get to heaven? It's a way of controlling your thoughts and feelings. Imagine going through your whole life thinking that, have I done enough to get to heaven? That's man's thinking, not God's, okay? He frees us from this because this, there is not one man that has done enough good to get to heaven. All those religions out there always have men doing something to get to heaven. You ever notice that? That same was started to get men to do things for them, not God. That's why it was started. It was started so men could have control over other men. And then they could have what? Power over them. There's not one time in the Bible where it says works get you to heaven. So you might be wrong. What about Book of James? All right, let's go to Book of James. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's James 2, 14 and 17. Is James contradicting other verses in the Bible that salvation comes by faith alone? No, not at all. James's teaching does not reflect negative to the other Bible verses. James sees two kinds of faith here. Saving faith, what he is talking about, is professing faith. After you are saved, so James is talking to believers. Okay? Look, he's basically saying that is what? Talk is cheap. So if you have no works to prove you are a believer, then your faith is dead. Not dead from salvation, but dead to be an example to others. Dead to spread the word. Remember, we are to be an example to others and to tell others about the good news so they can come to their realization that they need a Savior. Freedom from sin. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8, 34 through 36. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives his life, set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 1 through 2. But you say, Steve, it sounds like you just told us that if we sin, we are free from it. And that gives us a license to do whatever we want. No, I'm not saying that. There are consequences to sin. Okay, everyone? It's like the verse said, everyone who practices sin is what? A slave to sin. Sin always, hold on, let me put it this way. Sin has always and always will have consequences. Remember, if we are practicing sin in this world, are we being an example to non-believers? I want people to say about me that there's something different about him. Look at the way he handles situations. What does he have that I don't? A lot of times that is your witness in front of people. Yeah. You might not even said one thing about the Bible or Jesus Christ or anything, but you just handled a situation correctly. Yeah. And some unbeliever goes, man, what's different about him? What's different about him? I don't hear him swearing and drinking and looking at dirty magazines. What's he got that I don't have? We're all sinners, aren't we? Another freedom you have. Freedom from death. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. All right, what are these verses saying here? Describes what? Two gates, the wide gate and small gate. Two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. two destinations, destruction and life, two groups of people, the many and the few. The many won't know freedom from death. The few, the believers in Christ, get to live, not to be scared of dying. You don't have to be scared of dying. Maybe you're scared on how you're going to die. Okay, but you know what? Conquer that. Conquer your fears. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going. My life begins then. You know, it's great that God gives us this freedom. This freedom for dying, or from death. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God loves the world that He sent His only Son to die for the chosen? No. God loves the world that He sent His Son to die for the elect? No. God loves the world that He sent His Son to die for everyone. What about when people say the only way to heaven is to be chosen or elected? Okay, let's talk about what it means to be chosen. To be chosen means that somebody chose you. You are His choice. As we read in the Bible, it is declared that the will of God that all men be saved, and for this purpose God paid with the life of His Son. Okay? Now, if God wants all men to be saved, this means that it is God's choice for all men to be saved. Correct? So if this is God's choice, God's will for everybody, what then does this make everybody in regards to salvation? Chosen. In other words, when the Word of God refers to us as elect or chosen, in no way it means chosen in relation to some others that allegedly are not chosen. Okay? It doesn't mean that. If all were not chosen, it would contradict the Bible. These people that say a certain people are chosen or elected for salvation are contradicting the Bible. They are saying that the Bible is not true to its highest form. And we know the Bible is true. From Genesis all the way to Revelation. Notice. You can't, guys, you can't believe parts of the Bible. You have to believe it all. Okay? It's not a choice. Because it's God's Word, isn't it? All are chosen for salvation. However, not all will accept this offer, and the result is that they will be lost. Remember Matthew 7:13-14. Talks about the two gates, isn't it? Sad. But they are not lost because God did not choose them for salvation, but because they choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also works the other way. We are not saved because God chose us over somebody else. Okay? We were saved because we chose to accept what was the choice of God for every man. We believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom to enjoy life in Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Put this one last on purpose, because once you have accepted the gift of salvation, everything is explained for the rest of your life. So what do you mean by this? You have the freedom to enjoy life in Christ until the Lord comes, or until your dying days. No matter what you are going through, focus on Christ. He will get you through it. Okay? Don't turn to man. Turn to Christ. When you read the Bible and hear God's words, He always has a way of explaining and encouraging you in times of trouble. And yes, you will have times of trouble. Everybody in this room has gone through heartaches. Not one person that hasn't. Some worse than others. Every time I start complaining, I have to remind myself, someone always has it worse than you. You might go, no way.
Yes.
There is always a story that someone had it worse than you. Okay? Always. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Look, as I said earlier, as a believer, this is as hard as it gets for us. But non-believers, this is as good as it gets for them. Just remember, everyone lives forever, ever. It's whether you decide you're going to live in heaven or live in hell. That's the freedom to enjoy life in Christ. Knowing that you will be able to live for eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about that, guys. You think about that. So blessed is that one who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. James 1, verse 12. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Is that not great or what? If those verses don't encourage you, I don't know what will. I heard a pastor once say, I can't remember who it was, but he said, if every Christian, I think it's kind of funny that Ken kind of knocked on it today, that we only use like 5% of our brain, and we wouldn't understand everything in Sunday school today, but he said that if every Christian could truly understand heaven in its all its glory, everyone would just wish to die right here and now, because it's going to be so wonderful.
Yeah,
heaven is going to be awesome. I think we let our brains sometimes wander too much on the negative. I know I do. However, let's focus on that we are going to heaven, and that is when our real life begins. You guys believe that?
Yes.
It's when your real life begins, guys. You get that new body. Not have to worry about pain and sorrow. All right. Look, all these freedoms I just listed are freedoms that no matter where you are, what your circumstances are, it doesn't matter your race, where you live, what you have done, can all be yours. How simple? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say it can't be that easy. What about Matthew 7:14 you just read? Difficult is the way which leads to life. Yes. Difficult is the way. Why? Not because the salvation is difficult, but men's thoughts, men's actions, men being caught up in their sins, men thinking I can do works or buy my way into heaven. Men's pride gets in the way. That's what makes it difficult for men to come to the realization that they need a Savior. Remember also, what was Matthew 7? It's a Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is skating towards the, or is basically skating towards the scribes and Pharisees and rulers of the people. It contained many critical comments about the religious teachers and their legalistic attitudes. They were causing a lot of damage with their teachings, guys. That's why that verse says difficult is the way. It's because of man's thinking. Man's getting caught up in everything. Salvation is what? Jesus did everything for us. Acts 16:31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is stated 150 times in the Bible. It's the beauty of the Bible, guys. We know God does not lie, so we can always take one verse that's hard to understand, and we can understand it through other verses that explain that particular situation. Stop taking one verse and saying, this is what God means. Doesn't mean that. When you read other verses, why would God say you're chosen or elected if it says 150 times that you're... What, are they throwing those out? Okay? It explains, every verse explains for that particular situation. It's like what I said about when James is talking to believers on professing their faith. Not losing their salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. See, the devil wants people to be confused with the Bible. He wants people only to believe in part of the Bible. He wants people to be afraid and doubt their salvation. He wants people to think you can lose your salvation. Why? Because if you have these thoughts all the time, how are you going to be an example for others to get saved? How can you be focused on spreading the good news if you are confused yourself? How can you live with the freedom that God wants you to have when you have faults like that? So remember this. If you don't always understand something, God, just ask God to give you the wisdom for that particular situation. But have common sense and ask why, if a verse meant this, why would another verse contradict that? It doesn't. The Bible does not contradict itself. It does not. There are no verses in the Bible that contradict each other. If you truly understand the meaning for that particular verse in that particular situation, God does not lie. He does not play games. So as we read the Bible, remember, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, guys, we are in the last days, and the devil himself is feeling it. He is ratcheting up his destruction upon people. However, I want you to know you have freedom through Christ. I want you to think of 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I want to encourage every believer here today, everyone listening that's going through times of trouble, to say that you are not alone. You have your brothers and sisters in Christ that are with you. However, more importantly, you have the Lord Jesus Christ that's with you. So guys, fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the country we live in and divine influence you've had in forming it. We know our founding fathers were God-fearing Christians, and we are grateful for these men. We know that they were Bible-believing men, and help everyone here today and everyone listening in on the web site to know that the Bible is your word and is the ultimate truth. We pray for our leaders that they will turn to you for answers and not for anyone else. We know our country changes We know as our country changes and is getting away from you that our freedoms will change too, but we also know that our freedom comes from you. And that they can take away a lot of things. They can take away our rights, but they can never take away the gift that is only given by you, our salvation. Thank you again for our church here in Sanford. May everyone here have a blessed rest of their day and a very happy 4th of July. Amen.